Book of Zephaniah. Some people are not sure who wrote the book, but I believe that Zephaniah might have wrote this book. Zephaniah means God hides or God will hide. So I don't know, God is talking about protecting his people, says about his name. This Zephaniah is not an ordinary man. He's coming from the king's family. Hezekiah was the good king, and he is of the lineage of that king. So I was thinking, this man supposed to be someday king, whatever it was, but he is a royal prophet. And God chose you as a prophet, people will give you some respect. It's not like somebody was taking care of the cows or taking care of the sheep or goats. This man is somebody coming in the king's lineage. Let's go and read from the verse 1.
The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hizkiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord.
Now when you say land, they always call the Israeli or Jerusalem land. But this is like a twofold prophecy in this. He's talking about Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, as well as he's talking about the destruction of the world. Some people will say this is just for the Israeli people he's talking about. But he is not going to destroy only Israeli people, but the whole world someday. And even the Israeli people, he is not going to consume all Israeli people, because they will be remnant. If you read the book of Romans chapter 10, chapter 11, the remnant will be saved. So God is not going to destroy all the Israeli people. The same time, when he say consume all, means he's talking about majority people will be killed and destroyed. And the animal also, when you say consume all the animals is talking about majority, most of the animal, because even the millennium, they will be animals. So if the all animals are consumed, and all the people are consumed, and all the Israeli will be consumed, then there will be nothing remaining for the millennium. When you say he will consume all, he's talking majority people will be destroyed. Even the Israeli people, there will be very remnant. 144,000 will be sealed, and the devil cannot kill them or destroy them. He says in the 7th chapter, Revelation, they will be sealed, 144,000. And the 9th chapter, he says, he gives the order to the devil, do not touch them, do not kill them, do not harm them, whoever has the seal of God. So those remnant will be saved even the time of tribulation. And so this is what I would like to say. Consume means not every creature and every person will be not destroyed. Verse 3.
I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord.
See, stumbling block of the wicked. Most of all, God is going to destroy wicked people. St. Peter says, God knows how to protect righteous, and he knows how to destroy the wicked. So God is not going to destroy the righteous people. He's going to destroy the wicked people. Verse 4.
I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Chemarims with the priests.
Now he says, I'm going to destroy Judah and Jerusalem. And the reason he's giving, why? Because they are doing idol worship. Not only that, some of the priests start doing idol worship. So the priests are spoiled, the Israeli people doing the idol worship. He says, because of idol worship, I'm going to destroy. Do you know, Israeli people were saved, protected from Egypt. God did a miracle, and God brought them with a mighty hand. And what happened? All of a sudden, when the Moses goes to get the commandment, he made the calf. And so from that time until even today, some of the Israeli people might be doing idol worship, mingling with unsaved people. And so these people are doing all these things from the Exodus when we saw the calf. After that, Moses died. Then comes the Joshua. In the time of Joshua, they were not so many idol worshippers, because one person, when he took some idols and took some clothes and hid there, they were defeated when they went to small city like Ai, and then Joshua started crying and weeping, "Lord, why we are defeated with this small nation or small country?" God said, "There is a sin in the camp." And when they found out, and they destroy the man and his whole family. The point I'm making, this idol worship almost stopped in the time of Joshua. But when the Joshua died, then there was no leader, then there came judges. In the judges' time, some judges will be good and they will judge the people. And when the people start doing idol worship, God will give them in the hand of the enemies. And this keep on going like a yo-yo. People start doing wrong thing. And King David and King Saul, King Saul was the first, and King David, they destroyed all these soothsayer and idol worshippers and the witches they destroyed. You remember when King Saul went to these witches, he said, "Oh, they are all witches are destroyed and I cannot do anything." The point I'm making, even the King Saul destroyed the witches, King David destroyed the witches. But 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 7, please read.
Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon.
Can you imagine? This is the king, King Solomon, the wisest king, the richest king, the famous king. What did he do? He built the temples high on the mountains for the idols. Why? Because some of his wives were heathen. And they brainwash him and say, "You made the big temple for your God. Why can't you make a temple for our God?" So he said, "Okay, I'll do it." And slowly, slowly, he built the temple for the heathen God. Not only that, the word of God says he worshipped heathen God. And so God punished him. So the point I'm making, these people might be thinking, our king was the greatest king ever lived, and he worshipped the heathen God. So we can do it. And that's what they were doing it. That's why God was so angry. Go back to Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Go ahead.
And them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm.
Now here he's saying they worship here. They're worshiping the housetop. Now somebody saying, why they are worshiping housetop? They can go to the mountaintop. They can go somewhere. But they were going in the housetop, because when you go to the housetop, they have some kind of flat roof. And you go there and you look, you can see the stars. And you can see the sun and moon. So these people were sun and moon and star worshippers. And so they start worshiping stars and sun, moon and things like that. And that's why there were altars on the top of their house. God gave these people freedom many times from the enemy. But these people are not learning. They are worshiping heathen gods. And what they're thinking, they are thinking the heathen God and our God is the same. Our God is, Bible says what? God is love. Our God sacrificed his life. Our God is a good God. Can you compare this God with any other God? No. Bible says, how can you compare me with others? And there is none savior. The word of God says, Acts chapter 4 verse 12. There is none other God can save you. Then how can we take some God's name and say that God and our God is the same? It's not. That's what these people are doing. They are worshiping the sun, moon, and they are saying, this is our God, and we worship. You remember when they made the calf? What did they say? This is the calf bought us out of Egypt. Did that calf bought them out of Egypt? Well, how foolish people are. Blindly they are lying and they are doing worshiping the heathen God, thinking that God and our God is the same. And that's what people are doing today. Verse 6.
And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him.
See what he's saying? They've turned back to God, means backslidden. Not only that, they don't ask anything from God. Who are those people? The priest. They had to have answer from God, so they were mediator between God and man. So they will go to the temple and talk to God, get the answer from God, and tell the people what God is saying. But here he's saying, nobody comes to God, nobody goes to temple, nobody asks God what is good or bad, what should I do? Nothing. They're thinking, other gods are good God, and they're not coming to me for any good advice or anything they need it, they don't come to me. Means they think, we don't need God. Who cares about that God? Their God is no good anymore. That's the way people are thinking. Verse 7.
Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests.
Now here, you can say God has prepared the sacrifice. Maybe thousands of years ago, he gave his only begotten son. But this is not that sacrifice he's talking about. Because he's saying, I have made up my mind, and I will have feast for you people. So, go to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and he is inviting guests for the, what do you call, the feast. And who are the guests coming? Please read. 19, 17, and 18.
Oh,
Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 and 18.
And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great.
Okay, this is the great sacrifice or great feast God is going to do. Hundreds of years ago, God is saying, I am going to give you a good feast, and I'm going to call all these kings and all these people going against me, and they will be killed, and my guests will be at that time all the birds of the years, and I'll invite them to come and feast on these people because they are not listening to me. And those days are coming. It didn't happen yet. It will happen in the time of tribulation. Zephaniah chapter 1.
Yeah, no.
Okay, please read.
And it shall come to pass on the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel.
See, here he's saying, that day of sacrifice, I'll punish them. When Jesus Christ gave the sacrifice, what Jesus says, Father, forgive them. So God did not punish them right away. So here he says, the day is coming and I'm going to have a feast for you, and that feast is for the flesh of these kings and their children and the wicked people. Verse 9.
In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and an howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off.
Now, here is saying the time will come. Fish gate is like a marketplace. People are bringing, catching fish and bringing fish. There was a fish gate. And so he said all kinds of merchants, they are coming and bringing their products to sell. And people have money. They are doing money business. And rich people doing all kinds of merchant business. But the time is coming, he says, I'm going to destroy all those people who have silver and gold. He says those people, rich people, doing the business, do not care about God. And their God is what? Money. The money is the God of the people today. Do you remember one man came to Jesus Christ and he said, what should I do to go to heaven? What Jesus says? First of all, he said, do the commandments. What the man says? I did all these commandments from my childhood. Jesus says, one thing is lacking. Sell everything and give it to the poor and follow me. Now, some people might be thinking, why Jesus Christ said to this person like that? Do you think all the people, they have to give up everything to follow God? No. And he said, sell everything. He still said, do business. Now, Jesus Christ lived on earth for 3.5 years only doing the service. Actually, he lived 33.5 years. Now, this man, a billionaire, and he starts selling his stuff, it will take years. But what God was trying to say, what Jesus Christ was saying, you know what? You have a problem. The first commandment is, you should not have other gods. You told me that you are doing everything from your childhood, but you made the money your god. So if you give up your money, you will be fine. So what did he say? He was so rich, so he walked away. So who was his god? His god was the money. And he never cared about the poor people. He never gave his tithe. Jesus didn't ask him that. He didn't give his tithe. He didn't care about poor. And he worshiped his money. And money was his god. That's why he ran away. So that's why he's saying, the time is coming. All the people who are so much rich people. And I see sometimes some people have $4 billion, I heard other day, they gave for charity. $4 billion for charity? What they thinking? If I give $4 billion for $4 million, I'll go to heaven. God says your righteousness is filthy rag. You're doing murder, you're killing people, you're taking their blood, and they're working hard people. You don't give the good salary to them, and you made the lots of money, and now you're going to die. So he said, let's give something to charity so I'll go to heaven. Doesn't work that way. Some people say, oh, this man is a good man. You have to see the character. Does he go to church? Does he pray? Does he worship God? No. Then all this money he's giving is a good man, but he's going to go to hell. That's why he said, all the merchants and all the business people do not have time for God. They're going to be destroyed. Verse 12.
And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil.
Now he's talking about the Israeli people. I'm going to send the enemy. This was happening before the Babylonian people came to destroy these people. Before that, the Assyrian people came and destroyed Israeli people and the people from Judah. And they were very cruel people. And so he's saying, you are hiding in your houses, but I am going to come with a lamp. They said candles, but those people in those days, candles were not invented. The lamp. I will come with a lamp, come with the torches, and I'll check everybody who is hiding. So that means he said, nobody can hide from me. Why? Because he says, you people are saying, God cannot do anything good. God cannot do anything evil. Means what? No disaster can come. No problem can come. No punishment can come from God. God is not doing anything. He doesn't do good. He doesn't do bad. Means what? There is no God. There is nothing. That's what the people are thinking. Why we should worship God? We don't want any good from him. We don't want any bad from him. He cannot do anything. He said, that's why I have decided. If you think I cannot do anything, I'll show you what I'm going to do. Okay, verse 13.
Therefore their goods shall become a booty and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but shall not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof.
See what he says? Therefore. Why? You don't need me. I'm not doing anything good. I'm not doing anything evil. Therefore, what I'm going to do, I am going to take your goods and what? Give it to the enemies. They will loot, take the loot and everything from your house, everything what you have, I'm going to tell them to take it. And not only that, he says, if you build the houses, you will be not able to live in that. You build a vineyard, you won't be able to drink any wine. Did you see in California? What's happening? All the houses are built, $1 million, $1 billion houses, burned with the fire. And now, if you remember, I just wanted to tell you, last week, we prayed for rain. There was no rain this many years. And I said to you people, we are praying for the rain. I believe the rain will come. And the rain came. The point I'm making, God listens to our prayer. It was impossible. You saw the dry land in the news. And people say, it's not coming. We just prayed last week. And this week I'm reporting there was a rain. So the point I'm making, the word of God says, you think God cannot do anything? Then I'm going to punish you. I'm going to take your houses. I'm going to take your vineyard. I'm going to take your everything what you have. I'm going to let the enemy take it. And that's what's happening. So God can protect his people. But other people who said, who cares about God? That God doesn't do anything. Whatever the disaster come, they blame God. If something good happened, that's a luck. So this is what the people are doing. God said, I'm going to prove it to you. You don't believe me. You don't do any good to me. And you don't think I do any good or bad. Therefore, I'm going to bring disaster. Okay, verse 14.
The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly.
Can you imagine what he's saying? The day of the Lord is coming. The destruction is coming. The mighty man, the macho man, they don't cry. They are not afraid of anybody. But he said, the mighty man will cry. How? Bitterly. They will cry like a whole world will know that something is happening to this person. Somebody's hand crushed or leg crushed under the something. So they are not going to just keep quiet. They are going to shout for help. So this is what the mighty man will be crying bitterly. So there is no macho man in the world can say, I'll fight with God or what God can do. I'm going to see it. The time will come, the mighty man will cry. Okay, verse 15.
That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers.
Now, this is the day we studied the book of Joel. We studied Matthew chapter 24. And you can see in Isaiah chapter 13. All these chapters we see, the day of the Lord is coming. Darkness, destruction, gloomy day, the cloud, a very thick darkness. Those days are coming. And so these are the destruction we read. These are not coming today or tomorrow. These are the time of the day of the Lord is the time of the great tribulation. So as I said earlier, there is a destruction coming for the Israeli people, but the great destruction coming for the whole world. The word of God says in that day, the darkness was very, very great darkness, pitch dark. In that pitch dark, you would not know where you're going. So a little bit test God is giving once in a while, cut your lights off for a week and see how can you survive. But if the lights cut off and the sun is not going to give light in the daytime and the moon and everything is completely pitch dark and thick dark, then what you do? Those are the gloomy days and those are the days of destruction is coming. And the alarm sounds. People trying to put a bomb on Israeli people, what they do? They have siren. When the siren goes, people are scared. Run for the shelter. And so he says, there's a gloomy day, the bad day, the destruction day coming, and that time the siren will sound, the alarm will sound, and people will be so scared, don't know what to do. If you read in the book of Luke chapter 21 or Matthew chapter 24, the days are coming, people will be so scared. Sometimes it's a tsunami coming, in that town you give the warning, tsunami coming in your shore, how people are getting panicked. And now, some places, earthquake comes all the time. So this is everyday's thing. The light comes, snow comes, oh, we got used to this. But some places, they never saw the snow in their life. And then snow comes, and then what? 500 cars piled up, 150 cars piled up, and then they said, wow, we didn't know how can we survive. The point I'm making, people thinking we can survive any disaster comes. But the great destruction comes, nobody can protect you. Nobody will have power. Everybody will be panicked and everybody will be scared. Verse 17.
And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung.
Can you imagine? The people who are not listening to God, they will walking like a blind man. Already darkness is there. Darkness is there, you already look like a blind. And now, there are some glasses they made. You can see through the dark. And so they say, okay, whatever the darkness comes, we'll use those eyeglasses. Okay. Then the Bible says, okay, if you use those eyeglasses, I'll make you blind. Then what? Then what do you do? The darkness outside, you're walking like a blind man. And when you're walking like a blind man and the enemy comes, you don't know where to run. And so they are going to kill you. And your blood will be poured on the dust, like a dust. And then your bodies will be on the ground like a dung, means like a trash. So the means nobody there to bury you. Nobody there to take care of you. If somebody, one house, some disaster comes, so other houses can come to rescue you. But every house, somebody's dying. Every house, somebody has a problem. Who is coming to rescue? Who is coming to help you? Nobody. And so everybody will have problems. So the people are crying, somebody killing me, somebody destroying me. Help me, help me. Nobody's helping. The word of God says in those days when the people will be killed and their blood will be like a horse bridles, they're like a rivers of blood flowing. Those days are coming. People are not understanding. This prophecy is not given yesterday. We saw the Joel's prophecy, we saw the Nahum's prophecy, we saw the Obadiah's prophecy, we saw the Zephaniah's prophecy. God is giving this warning again and again and again and again. Nobody's listening. People are telling the bad days are coming, people are not listening. The word of God says now in America and some other country, they are saying, oh, global warming. So much heat. So cut down something, this and that, and they start saying, man making these things. Kill the cows. Cows are making this global warming. Kill the people. We don't need too many people. And this is what the people thinking. But now comes so much snow, all the rivers and all the ponds and everything is frozen and everything. Now global warming people shut their mouth. Do not say anything. And if you ask them by force, what they're saying? Oh, climate change now. Now climate changing. Who is doing this? People? Did you do anything to make more snow coming snow to the whole world? No, we didn't do anything. So how do you think that when the heat comes so much, people are doing it? This is all the crazy ideas some scientists makes to destroy people. destroy animals, destroy things. The point I'm making, God isn't in charge. You see, the word of God says when you repent, He will forgive. How many people are asking God to forgive us? The point I'm making, we go on our knees, pray and ask God to help us. Some people are proud people. I have what you call generator. $2,000 I just spent and I'll be all right. What happened? God says, I'll send a thief and he will steal your generator. Then what you do? And this is what's happening. God says, I'll send the thief. God says, I'll send the enemies to destroy you. So what is it? When the problem comes, come to God. Repent. Say, Lord, help me. God will turn His wrath away. And so this is what's happening. Okay, let's read the verse 18.
Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His jealousy, for He shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land.
Can you imagine? Here he's saying, your silver, your gold will not be able to save you in the latter days. Did you hear the advertisement about silver and gold? I'm listening. He says, your security is gold. Paper money is no good anymore. So get the gold. And somebody says, oh, silver is better than gold. Buy some silver. So the people are buying silver, buying gold, and they can store everything, silver and gold. In the final days, you can throw your silver and gold on the street. Nobody will take it. So silver and gold is not going to help you. Who gives you silver and gold? Bible says, all the silver and all the gold is mine. And all the cattle of the hills and all the whole world is belong to me. If you give your full tithe, people do not know what tithe means. Tithe means 10%. And some people know 10%. You make $100, you're supposed to give a $10 and maybe 11 or 12 a sacrificial money. So what people are doing, I got $100, $10 I supposed to give, I'm giving $1. There was a man came here, he didn't have a job. We prayed for him, he got a job. And he said, if I get my job, I will give my 10%. I said, sir, nobody's going to force you. You have to do willingly. He got a job, he came, he said, Pastor Peter, I got a job. And he put $2. Nobody said anything. And he goes there in the kitchen and telling other people, I give $2, God should be happy. At least I give $2, God should be happy. I said, sir, God is not a beggar that you give $2 and he should be happy. Watch out for your job. What happened? He lost the job. The point I'm making, people do not understand. When God has given you money, he says, this is all mine. One man used to work with my wife and he heard that my wife giving tithe. He said, I give it to God this way. He said, I take the money, I throw it out. Talk, God, take it, catch it. Whatever comes down is mine. So it's very easy. I gave it to God, hold my paycheck. But he gave it back to me. I don't have to give any tithe. This is the way people are trying to play game with God. He says, but the time will come. Your money will not save you. Do you know some rich people have more problems? They may have diabetes. They may have high blood pressure. They may have serious disease. And they are spending millions of dollars and nothing happening. And some of the doctors says, we don't know what's wrong with you. And they are trying to treat, but nothing happened. I heard the other day one lady says, one man is a millionaire. He has a lots of money. But his health is bad. He's trying everything, but his health is ruined. Why? Some of the rich people do not have even children. Why is this happening? You can buy everything with money, but you cannot buy love with your money. All the money in the world will not save you. Money has the wings. Money comes, money goes. And so, point I'm making, here is the word of God is saying, your silver, your gold will not deliver you. The silver and gold is not the answer. What is the answer? Jesus is the answer. The word of God says, the righteous man has a little wealth is greater than the wicked man's wealth. The point I'm making, God will protect your money. God will protect your life, but you have to say, who is the source of my supply? Our God is what? El Shaddai. What does it mean? All sufficient God. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. Read the Matthew chapter 6. Start reading from verse 25 to the last verse. It says, don't worry about food, don't worry about shelter, don't worry about clothes, don't worry about anything, don't worry about your life. And then he says, seek ye first, that same chapter, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All other things. What other things? All other things. What other things? The people are looking for. The houses, the car, the job, the girlfriend or boyfriend or money or whatever. He said, I'll give it to you. People are not seeking God. They are seeking jobs. They are seeking girlfriends, seeking boyfriends, seeking the houses and cars. He said, I'll give it to you. Peter came to Jesus and said, Jesus, we gave up everything and we followed you. What we are going to get? What Jesus said, whoever gave whatever they had, I'll give them hundredfold in this world. And you will be judging the people. You will be having eternal life, as well as I'll make you kings and priests. That's the promise. I gave up everything, as I said. Came to America with no dime in my pocket. My wife did the same thing. We are not begging. We are not lacking. We have everything what the middle class American should have. We have everything. We are not rich like a billionaires. We are not poor, but we have everything. What Sammy says, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The same way. We are not lacking of anything. The word of God says, the time is coming. Your silver and gold you'll be throwing on the street. No use. This is the time to use it for the glory of God. So our silver and our gold, we don't have to throw it on the street. Tomorrow the disaster comes. Our money is in where? In the heaven. Jesus Christ says, put your money in the heavenly bank so there will be no thief, no robbers, no rust will come. Shall we rise? Let's pray and say, Lord, give me grace. I don't have to struggle. Everything will be all right. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for giving us grace. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for the energy. Thank you for the homes. Thank you for the food. Thank you for everything what you have given to us. Thank you for the good church. Thank you for the electricity. Thank you for the heating system. Thank you for the water. Thank you for all the pipes are okay. Thank you for all thine goodness and all thine mercy. I pray for each and every believer. Supply their needs. Protect their home. Protect their properties. And let them enjoy the life you have given to us. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.